Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We're going to go right to the hotline to talk to Chris Peek of PantherLair.com, also the host of Panther Insider, Pitt Panther Insider, which runs, I think, at 8 a.m. on Saturday mornings. But we will get the exact time. Chris, how are you doing today? Good to talk to you. And your show is 8 a.m., right, every Saturday?
That's right, man. You get up early, you get your coffee, and you have a little Pitt sports talk on Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. there.
Yes, and it's every week. And, of course, you also do a podcast, but that is on your website, correct?
Yeah, we do a live stream on YouTube a little bit later here tonight, and we'll release that as a podcast. We're all over the place, Paul. You know, you're always trying to give the people content. Isn't that what they want in the 21st century? Content, right?
Yes, absolutely. Now, a question right now. You know, there was just some breaking news a little bit ago. It came across maybe 5, 6, 7 different Twitter feeds, so unfortunately, I didn't know who I was supposed to credit with breaking the story, but there was a recruit that committed to Pitt, correct?
Yeah, there was, and I think you credit the recruit in this case because, you know, there's this unwritten rule that we're not allowed to report a recruit's commitment until the recruit himself announces it. This is sacred territory here, Paul. So no one broke the news. The recruit reported the news, because if you report a commitment before the recruit announces it, something bad is going to happen. It's bad. It's very bad. So the recruit announced that it's Malik Newton. He's a three-star running back on kind of the high end of the three-star range, just shy of being a four-star prospect out of the Tidewater region in Virginia, where Chris Beatty, Pitt's receivers coach, has been doing a bang-up job. This is a big back. He's 6 foot, 220 pounds, ran for 2,000 yards and 37 touchdowns last year on a team that won the state championship. He was an all-Tidewater player of the year 2 years in a row, which same honor, you know, a guy like Percy Harvin, who was the number one recruit in the country, got about 15 years ago. So it's kind of a big deal for him to win that award, and it's a really good add to Pitt's recruiting class. And, you know, it's a good running back to join the class, and another really good pickup for Chris Beatty, who's been a recruiting stud on Pitt's staff.
It seems like they're doing really well in that area of Virginia, where they obviously targeted. Is that an area they've now begun to emphasize over the last so many years?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, they hired Chris Beatty last offseason, you know, replaced Kevin Sherman as the receivers coach. And, you know, we saw it last spring of 2019. He got a lot of underclassmen recruits to come and visit, guys that we never would have thought they would have been in the conversation with, because he's got those kind of connections. You know, what it's not exactly the same as what Charlie Partridge is to South Florida, but it's kind of similar. Chris Beatty was actually Percy Harvin's high school coach, head coach, back in 2005, 2006. And so, you know, he's a former high school coach in the area, got a lot of contacts, got a lot of connections. He's from the Tidewater region. And so he's able to connect with recruits. And right now they've got 4 commitments out of the region in a class of 13. So you're talking about a quarter of the class is out of that region, where Pitt has really not had much success at all in recent years. Add to that the you know, the work that Beatty has done with wide receiver recruits. He's been really, you know, closely involved with landing those guys. He's a stud recruiter, and it's paying off when you get four commitments, and I wouldn't be surprised to, you know, see him get a couple more before you know, the recruiting class is done.
Yeah, there's no question. And now they have 13 commits now. Is this going to be a full class of 25?
Yeah, they got a lot of space. They have a big senior class, I think about 19 guys. And you know how it is when you have 19 or 20 seniors, you're going to push right up to that 25-man limit. And they're really loading up on offense, too. It's interesting to see. Out of the 13 commits, I think maybe like four are on defense, which is not what we're used to seeing out of Pat Narduzzi in his classes. He usually goes heavy on defense, but they're really restocking a lot of the numbers. Offensive line is going to be a big group, two running backs. They're going to take a bunch of receivers. You know, if they can get tight ends, they'll take a couple of them, but it remains to be seen if they can recruit that position at all. But it's going to be a big class that Pitt signs this year.
Well, I think he's doing a pretty good job. I mean, I just feel like, you know, they are definitely loading up. And this is a year, Chris, that, you know, proverbially or whatever you want to call it, that he's built towards coming up. And it seems like this should be the best team he's had since he's been here, right?
Yeah, I mean, you got almost all of a really, really good defense coming back, you know, adding in two guys who didn't even play last year who are really good players. Then you're going to have a third-year starter as a senior at quarterback. I mean, that's ideal. You're going to have a three- or four-year starter at center. You know, last year you were able to write off some of the issues with the offense by saying, well, look how young the offensive line was. Those guys didn't have experience. Well, now you got four starters back from that group. You lost some guys like Maurice French, but you've got a whole lot back on a team that should be pretty talented, definitely on defense, and their offense. You know, I think you and I probably talked about it last year, Paul. I mean, their offense just has to be a little bit better. Just be a little less, you know, bad. And you could win a lot of games, you know. You know, what they lose to Miami, like 16-12 or something, 19-12? You know, they lose to Boston College 26-19. I mean, it's not like they got blown out in those games. And that's the difference between, you know, winning 10 or 11 games and winning 7 or 8 like they ended up doing. I mean, the offense just has to get a little bit better. And then, you know, they got a real chance to have their most successful season since, you know, 2009.
There's no question. We're talking with Chris Peake of Panther Lair. You can catch his show, Pitt Panther Insider, Saturday morning at 8 a.m. right here on 93.7 The Fan. Chris, it's funny. I did not realize there was going to be a recruit tonight. Well, I actually did when you texted me that you couldn't come on the original time because there was going to be a recruit. But I wanted to talk to you because sometimes we go down memory lane and we remember really good things and things of the such. But today, I think it was Sports Illustrated wrote a article basically that, you know, Connecticut football has failed. And if you read it, you know, there's a lot that's gone on. Obviously, the big thing is they didn't get into the ACC and, you know, they've made some really bad hires. They've given out some really bad contracts. And now they're basically, instead of just going FCS, which is what they should do, they're basically running like such a ridiculous deficit that they're going to have to cut a bunch of sports to get back under budget, and there's really no end in sight. However, that made me think about some of the time, you know, that if Connecticut football could have kept Pitt on their schedule, they might be actually in a better place, right?
I mean, it's wild. You know, I mean, you go as far back as that 2004 game, you know, which – you talk about Fiesta Bowl year. I mean, that was the slide. The Walt Harris at Kyle Telco slide to set up a field goal instead of trying to go for a touchdown before the end of the first half. And, I mean, it was a house of horrors playing up there. Other than 2008, I mean, did they ever win a game? They won. That was the only game they won at that Rentschler Field or whatever the name of the stadium is. I mean, they for some reason, it was a curse on Pitt being up there. But to be fair, I mean, you and I were both there a bunch of times. It was a curse on anyone who had to go to that place. I mean, that was, what year was it that we were like looking off in the distance from the press box and there was just something in the distance beyond the field just randomly on fire, like, you know, behind the stands? There was just like a fire burning, like, you know, plumes of smoke floating into the air. I mean, I was like, well, this perfectly sums up this terrible, terrible place. I mean, people complain about Heinz Field being so far from campus. What was that stadium, like 20, 30 miles from campus?
Yeah.
I mean, it's such a series of ill-fated decisions with that football program that, you know, I can understand why they wanted to join the Big East in the late 1990s, early 2000s. I mean, it was Miami and Virginia Tech, and you know, I mean, you could see the appeal of the conference, but God, it just all went downhill so abruptly when they didn't get into the ACC. And yeah, I mean, it's not, you know, they certainly made a lot of bad decisions on their own, but I mean, yeah, it's amazing that they're going to be cutting programs, you know, probably multiple athletic programs, when football is the biggest problem. I mean, football is not generating revenue for them like it is in so many other schools. I mean, you know, take a serious look at your program and decide why you really need this football program to be at the level that it's at. Playing an independent schedule? Why does Connecticut need to be an FBS independent team? Who is benefiting from that situation other than the teams that get to schedule them? I mean, it's just one bad decision after another. It's bad luck that the Big East fell apart and then everybody ran from the conference a few years later. But it just, I don't know. I don't get it.
Yeah, it was, you're right. I forgot all about the half the town is burning down, you know, just beyond the the field. The other thing was, it felt like, and it's been a while since I've been there, but it felt like, wasn't it like in the middle of a big field or something? Like, it just felt like you were basically like attending a Woodstock festival or something, because you had to walk across all those parking lots to get the field.
I actually, like, you know, when all this stuff about UConn came out today, I was like doing some research and things, and I was just like, yeah, what is the deal with UConn? Like, I didn't, not to get sidetracked from your question, do you remember, maybe back in 1997, apparently the Big East, you know, told UConn and Villanova, look, you guys either get in the conference for football or don't, but we need a decision from you right now. And UConn said, okay, we're in. And Villanova said, no, we're out. But it's kind of worked out a little better for Nova than it did for UConn. But no, apparently the stadium was built on like a deactivated Air Force base or airport or something, that the land was donated to the university, which, again, I mean, donated land is great, but is it great if it's 30 miles from your campus? I mean, it's just like, again, just one bad decision after another. And even when they were good, even when they were enjoying success, and I mean, you talk about backing into a Big East championship, they did that as much as anyone in 2010, but even when they were enjoying some success, they still weren't selling the place out. Still no one gave a damn about UConn football. You know, it just, nobody cared there, no matter how much success they could have found. It was just a bad decision overall to try and emphasize that sport at that school.
Well, I laugh. Here's what I laugh about, Chris, though, is think about the games that they played, right? Some of them, we actually, you don't even have to, you know, kind of give the year. You just can kind of say things like the slide game, which is that game that you talked about, the first time they played the slide game, where Tyler Pelko slid right before halftime to kick a field goal, if you remember that. Then there was the DJ Hernandez game, which I don't think we need to, you know, you remember what game that is. Then there was the week after the Wildcat was discovered, you know, game where it was a total disaster from the start, because UConn knew that, you know, they were going to have the Wildcat coming at them, and that game was a disaster. Then there was the game that, what was it, 2009 or 10, the kick return game, where they basically lost the Big East championship because they couldn't cover a kick.
They couldn't stop a 4th-and-1. Randy Edsall's got the ball deep in his own territory at the end of the game, and he goes for it on 4th-and-1, and Dave Wanstead and his great defense couldn't stop Connecticut on a 4th-and-1, and they lost the Big East because of it. Yeah. I mean, like, it's amazing.
People, you know, when I say that, a kick return cost them the Big East championship, they always say, no, it wasn't Connecticut, it was Cincinnati. No, it was both Connecticut and Cincinnati in back-to-back years. Those games, and really, I mean, if anytime someone wants to argue with me about how Pitt shouldn't be in the ACC and they should have never left, I just point to Connecticut. I mean, is there a better argument for why Pitt needed to go to the Big East? I mean, needed to go to the ACC than Connecticut?
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly it. I mean, do you want to be – I mean, there's a chance. I mean, like, your best-case scenario, if you didn't go to the ACC, your best-case scenario was you would be, you know, Cincinnati. And I'm not sure that Pitt's necessarily got the track record of hiring good head coaches like Cincinnati does. So I don't even know if you would have the success that Cincinnati is at. You're probably more, well, not more likely, but you've got a real chance of ending up like Connecticut and not having the basketball success to kind of rely on and carry you. Yeah, I mean, it was obvious. I mean, that's why UConn was desperate to get in. And they got blocked by, you know, whoever, the other, you know, stepchild of college football in Boston College. So, I mean, yeah, you feel bad for them, I guess. But, I mean, you know, at some point you got to cut your losses, right? I mean, you've got to say this is enough. We're not wasting any more money on this football program.
Well, what's funny is Boston College, it hasn't really worked out much better for them on the court and on the field. But at least they have a lot of money, and they don't have all the money problems, and they don't have a scheduling problem like Connecticut does.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, being in the ACC is, Boston College is not trying to go independent, so that's an advantage. But I mean, what is the reason to not drop to FCS if you're UConn? I mean, what do you stand to gain by staying in FBS? I really don't see the upside.
And they basically can't really afford to fire Randy Etzel because they owe him a lot of money, so they're just going to have to ride it out with him and ride out these 1-11 seasons, right? I mean, they can't afford to fire a guy. That's probably the worst situation to be in. If you're Randy Etzel, you're actually in pretty great shape, right? I mean, you don't have to win because it doesn't matter. They can't fire you. You just collect paychecks until the end of your contract.
I mean, Randy Etzel has been nothing if not opportunistic throughout his career. I mean, that guy has been able to, you know, keep getting jobs and, you know, keep himself moving. And didn't they hail it as, like, the great return when he went back to UConn after the disaster at Maryland? They're like, it's all right. We're going to be coming back. We're going to come back from the Bob Diaco fiasco and, you know, Paolo Pasqualoni. We're going to get Randy Etzel. And, you know, like 13 people were like, woohoo. And the rest of, you know, the Connecticut community just didn't care. You know, just nobody cares about football.
No, that is absolutely true. Last one, Chris, I'll let you go. Because someone brought this up too, and this sort of puts into perspective, I think, why the Pitt fan base sometimes is so frustrated and angry all the time. What was more ridiculous to you, the fact that Pitt seemed to always struggle with, and there were some games Pitt, you know, beat Connecticut like they were supposed to, but Pitt, you know, seemed to at the worst time struggle with Connecticut? Or that Pitt seemed to struggle with Matt Grothy in South Florida? And then some of those ridiculous games.
I mean, you know, Grothy, I mean, I could respect Grothy as an athlete. You know, what, DJ Hernandez was like a tight end. You know, Grothy was at least ostensibly a quarterback. I mean, I can respect that. And, you know, they had some good athletes on those teams. But, I mean, UConn, what did UConn have? Donald Brown, I guess, but you know what else did they have in terms of talented players? I mean, it just didn't make any sense. I mean, the games up there, the one you left out was the 2008 game when, you know, the Sun Bowl representatives, I thought they were going to break out tequila sitting next to us when they realized they were going to have to take that team to El Paso because remember that was like the season finale, and that was when they invited Pitt to the. They gave him their official invite to El Paso, and these poor guys from Texas are sitting there in Hartford, Connecticut, in the end of November. And I swear they were pulling the, you know, Cuervo out of their pockets because it was they were so miserable by what they were witnessing, what they were experiencing, and what they knew they were going to have in the Sun Bowl that year. They were right; they got exactly what they expected.
I forgot all about that game. That was like a game that Pitt like struggled really bad right there and barely won at the end, or very, you know, won maybe going away in the last couple of drives. But for three quarters, it was really just a garbage game. Is that the game I'm thinking of?
I mean, like, you're talking about the Wanstead era. So you have 6 years of games, and you have, like, a 75% chance of being right about what you just described. So, I mean, there's a pretty good chance that that happened. So
he's Chris Peake of PantherLair.com. Also, the Pitt Panther Insider Show, 8 a.m. on Saturday here on 93.7 Fan. Chris, thank you so much for a fun – you know, the one thing that we left out is that those trips were always made – far more bearable by a sign that said Foxwoods 55 miles that way or whatever it was, right?
I didn't think we would get into those stories on this segment, Paul. Right. We're out of time. We can't get into those trips to Foxwoods. We'll talk about those another time.
We will. We indeed will. He's Chris Peek. I'm Paul Zeiss. It's 93.7 The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.